At Berkeley Rep, playwright Bill Kane has a new play on the boards. It runs through November 20th. It's called How to Write a New Book for the Bible. It's autobiographical, and it tells his own story of caring for his ailing mother at the end of her life. David Templeton spoke with Bill Kane at the theater before a performance.
So I think I want to start just asking you when you knew that these experiences with your mother that you write about in this play was a play.
Well, in the 10 years after my second parent, Mom, died, I spent, in between other writing projects, I would write about the experience of living with Mom and Dad while they were dying. And that turned out to be a 300-page book. And about 100 pages in, I realized what the book was about. And the book seemed to me to be about searching in the experience of family for the presence of God. As the play says, people keep trying to turn the Bible into a rule book, but it's not. It's a family story. And it locates the presence of God at the heart of a family, Abraham and Sarah's family. So I really wanted to look at my family and see if I could find the infinite, the ineffable, the perfect, amid all of the nonsense of daily life. And when the book was done, I thought, you know, this wouldn't make a bad play, a bad ritual. It seemed to me that my parents had led extraordinary lives and that writing about them in a form that could be dramatized wouldn't be a bad idea. So I sat down the day after Christmas one year and wrote it until Valentine's Day and adapted my book into this play.
How long was that process?
Of the adapting?
Yeah.
Very short, a couple months.
Was it a difficult experience? Was it emotional or was it joyful? It would seem like from the result of the play that there was a lot of joy in the writing of it.
Okay, now the question says a lot about the interviewer. Was it emotional or joyful? I think you can't have one emotion without having all the emotions. They come together. In most of my writing and most of the things that I've worked on, you go as high as you go low. The experience of dealing with somebody who is dying includes great grief and absolute hilarity. The play commutes between those two.
You have written about Shakespeare. You've written about war crimes. Have you ever put anything on stage that was as autobiographical as this before?
Well, a number of things I've written. The play that feels to me the most exposed and personal is, in fact, a play called Equivocation, which, if you look at it, it feels just like a historical piece. But I feel like my heart is hanging out on every line of that piece. I've written a lot of stuff that has been very autobiographical. My first play was called Stand Up Tragedy, and it was done at the Mark Taper Forum and eventually went to Broadway and was turned into a film. But it's about an experience I had, or a series of experiences I had, teaching on the Lower East Side, teaching middle school on the Lower East Side. And in doing that, I came to understand what I thought art was for. A number of the people who were represented in the play came to see it, and one teacher, who was a hero of the play, came to me after, and I was, of course, a little bit frightened to hear what he thought. And what he said to me was, I didn't know anyone had seen me. And it took the experience of being in a 600-seat theater with people applauding him for him to acknowledge the greatness of who he was. Similarly, it's the fundamental, the lead character of it was a 13-year-old Latino boy, my godson. And when he finally saw it, and he saw the Broadway production, he came to me after, and I was very nervous about what he would say, because he had a very hard life. But he came up to me and he said, I said, what do you think? And he said, as a question, I'm the hero. And I said, yeah, you are, and you always have been. So the autobiographical writing, it seems to me, does something important in that it allows people to see their hidden greatness, that you hold up the mirror that allows them to see their size, their capacity, and their beauty. In Equivocation, there's a sequence where the Prime Minister of England is speaking to Shakespeare and saying, do you flatter your audiences? do you show them what they are, meaning how bad they are? And he says, Shakespeare says, not what they are, but that they are. They forget. And Cecil says, but what of spirit, what of God? And Shakespeare says, God's truest name is I am. Each time an actor steps on stage, his very being proclaims, I am. For a moment, the actor's body becomes the audience's soul. Our bodies become their souls. What could they not do if in that privileged moment we were to tell them the truth? And I think what I try to do in writing that verges on the autobiographical is to tell the absolute truth about the people that I know. And for me, the absolute truth is never darkness. Underneath the darkness is extraordinary light, and exposing that light, that brilliance and that beauty, is what I try to do as a playwright.
With this new piece, How to Write a New Book for the Bible, you're describing real members of your family, and the audiences, or most of them, aren't going to have known them for real. This is going to be their only experience of them. So do you feel, a sense of responsibility in creating these characters on stage based on people that you know and love? What is the responsibility you feel for taking these real family members and making them characters on stage?
I remember reading when I was a kid, when Subject Was Roses was the Pulitzer Prize play by Frank Gilroy, a play that I very much liked at the time. And I remember reading an article in which he said he was scared when he realized that he was actually exposing his family. I don't come from that place. My sense is these are exquisite human beings. These are remarkable human beings, and it's my privilege to share them. It seems to me that in general that the history of drama and the history of religion both are, and I've said this before, the sins of the parents being visited on the children as told by the children. So we complain about Adam and Eve. They were bad parents, and because of this, you know, we have to work and we die and all of that. Or in Greek drama, Clytemnestra has to be killed by Electra for her sins. But my experience of my parents is not that. My experience of my family is unbelievable blessings being given by the elders to their children. And so my goal is to celebrate that and rejoice in it.
Your mother seems to be concerned in the play about how you're going to talk about her. She asks you to be kind. Is that something that you had in mind as you were writing this, trying to be kind? And did you leave some things out in order to be kind?
In the play, the mother doesn't ask the son to be kind. My mother would not ask me to be kind. My mother would ask me to be truthful. And what she actually says in the play is, don't make me foolish, Billy, because that wouldn't be fair. That just wouldn't be fair. And I believe that. I believe it wouldn't be fair. But the tendency is, when you tell stories about family members, is to exaggerate and to go for the juggler and all that kind of stuff. But no, I think I'm fair to Mom. We had no secrets. We had no secrets in our family. Like, the only person who's really foolish in the course of this play is the narrator, and that's me. You know, and I made an unbelievable number of errors in taking care of Mom and in taking care of Dad. And they're all up there on stage. But I think they did very well. And I think they come off as, in an ordinary way, quite heroic with what they can put up with and how they can take care of one another. And faults are there. I mean, I don't gloss over my mother's rage and my mother's anger. My mother lost her father when she was 3 years old to cancer. She grew up working very hard, as she said. I started ironing at the age of 6. Her mother took in laundry and she helped. So she grew up as a really poor, poor kid. And that left her with a real sharp edge that over the course of her life turned pain into compassion over the course of a lifetime. And I think the play is very frank about how tough Mom could be and how Dad dealt with that. But it doesn't feel to me like it's a warts and all sort of thing. It feels like there's a complexity to being human And her triumph was, by the time she got to the end of her life, she had harmonized that complexity. And I think that's quite an achievement.
I think most people, knowing that our end is going to come eventually, hope to have a good death. I think we all define that different ways. Do you think your mother had a good death?
My mother had a terrific death. It wasn't just good, it was triumphant. And I don't want to give too much away in terms of the plot of the play. But she tricked us, and she slipped out the door when she wanted to, and not when we thought she would. And I thought I was very much in charge. I was taking care of the medications, I was seeing the doctors and all of that. But she had her own agenda, and she served it, and I think she did very, very well. I don't want to give too much away, but the moment she actually dies in the play turns out to be, I think, very, very funny, because she did it in a way that completely subverted every plan that I had and completely subverted every expectation I had. And I think there was an element of genius in it. But come to the play and see, because I don't want to give that part away.
So in terms of your...
My mother did her death. My mother did not suffer death. As the play says, she was a list maker, and she made a series of things to do, and I think she made this list, and the last one was, you know, item number C, die, and she did it exactly when and how she wanted.
So has this made you think about your own death and what kind of death you would like and how you would define a good or great death when it comes to you?
Oh, now you make me foolish. As the play dwells on, the narrator, to wit, me, is a hypochondriac. So, and that's a cause for humor in the play as well. I kid, I say, I have one tattoo across my chest. There is a tattoo that says, "Do not turn off the machines." I want to go on till I'm 150 years old. And when I'm 150 and dying, I'll be complaining that I'm only getting started. I'm a greedy person. I hope to come to terms with it better as time goes on. 10 days before Mom died, and this is, again, I don't want to give away too much, but 10 days before Mom died, Mom had an experience in which she simply said that it was all right, that it was all right to die. And she really meant it. And the next 10 days were a party. The next 10 days were a genuine party.
And do you think your mother would agree with you that you do not make her foolish?
She know what she would recognize in the play? She'd recognize her love for her husband. She would recognize that, because her husband, my father, Pete Kane, was an enormous-souled man. And I think she'd look at that and say, "You got that right."
I'm thinking of friends that I used to know, no longer living in this world below. I've heard about heaven, but I want to know, what are they doing there now? What are they doing in heaven today, where like a river, they say? What are they doing there now?
It's Arts ID on KRCB Radio.